the swords of our strength. I don't know if y'all really believe it. Let me say that again. God is the source of our strength. God is the strength of our lives. It is only by his divine power that we're clothed in our right minds, that we have the activities of our limbs, that we're able to give him glory, amen, by his divine power. God continues to bless, to supply, to provide every need that's present in our lives. And I believe we ought to just give the Lord a big shout this morning. Hallelujah! Glory to God, for he's truly worthy today. Storms may be raging, but he's worthy. Trouble may have invaded your territory, but God is worthy. Might not be feeling your very best this morning, but God is worthy of all of our praise and all of the glory. So I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to be here this morning. Amen. I know he didn't have to do it, but he did. And I'm so glad God smiled on us once again. Come and go with me this morning to a very familiar passage. I want to go back to the third chapter of the book of Proverbs. I want to talk about success God's way. In Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with Verse 3. Amen. And it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Bow with me. Father God, we come this morning in Jesus' name, and we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory, O God, because you are truly worthy. And Lord, we ask now that you would speak to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth, O Lord, that you may be heard today. And, oh God, I pray by your divine power through the Holy Spirit that your word will have a transforming effect in all of our lives today. Let us, Lord, leave different than we came. Let us, Lord, leave with a greater determination, a greater desire, a greater passion, oh Lord, to honor you in all that we do. And allow us, oh Lord, to glorify you from day to day. Add to the kingdom, add to the church, oh Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. Last Sunday, we talked about avoiding the devil's traps. And we talked about how Satan lures us in to his trap to cause us to leave or forsake the will of God. And in order to have success in avoiding his traps, we have to do it God's way. And in that, we have to truly set our minds on things above and not on things down on the earth. And I want to talk about this because Success God's way is different from success the world's way. See, the world's way of gaining success, it's okay if you tell a little lie. The world's way of gaining success, it's okay if you kind of shave a little bit off of what should be there. The world's way of gaining success involves sometimes taking advantage of people. Amen. Y'all come on now. I'm talking about the world's way. I'm not talking about y'all's way. Right. Amen. I'm talking about the world's way and how the world defines success and how the world approaches being successful. And oftentimes we look at it and we kind of gravitate in that direction because it's easy for the flesh to move in the way of the world. But I want to talk about success God's way. Is there anybody in here who does not want to be successful? I didn't think so. Young, old, black, white, people of every ethnicity desire to be successful in whatever they do. The immigrants who are coming to our nation or trying to get into our nation, they come here with the intent of being successful in experiencing the American dream. Amen. That's their desire. That's their primary purpose for wanting to come here. And we normally stress success comes through education. And I do believe that education is an avenue to have success. But I might flip the script a little bit and say that I believe Christian education is highly valuable as it relates to success. You need secular, but more than secular, you need spiritual or Christian education if you're going to have success God's way. You know, as a parent, we hope that our children will have good success in life, that they will be businessmen, women, professionals, whatever you want to call it, in whatever field that they select. We want them to be successful in their endeavors. But what is success? Let me first say, success is not financial security. Even though God can bless us with financial security, that's not the end of being successful. And if you are financially secure and you're robbing God, you know it didn't come from Him. Amen. See, the scripture says, for what shall it gain? What will it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose their soul? It wouldn't do me any good to have all the money that a human being could possess, enjoy all the luxuries and the pleasures that this world has to offer, and then die and go to hell for eternity. So what would it gain a person to have all the financial stability and success that a person can have and lose their only soul? Success is not popularity and fame, because they are fleeting. They are running away. And y'all come on, go with me now. In your day when you grew up, who were some of the most popular actors and actresses in your day? You don't even hear about them no more. Some of the greatest performers that ever stepped on the stage, you hardly ever hear about them. When is the last time you heard about Chuck Berry until he died yesterday? Those things are fleeting. They are passing. They are good for a year or year or two. Many people, artists, I'll put it like that, they have hits that bring them into the spotlight. But they won't keep them in the spotlight. Amen. Because those things are fleeting and they are passing away. Success, true success, is living in or according to the will of Almighty God. Amen. And the scripture says that the person who does the will of God shall abide forever. That person is going to be around to continue to honor God throughout all eternity because they achieve success God's way. Now, how do we have God's direction for everything we do? I don't know about you, but I want God to be a part of everything I do in life. I don't want to exclude God from anything. And for some of you who may have forgotten or may not understand, I think I can say it. God is in the bedroom too. Amen. And so, that, you know, I want you to understand that God is everywhere. And there's nothing that takes place that escapes his view. I just want to touch on three brief points this morning as it relates to success God's way. First of all, you have to receive his son. You have to be born again, if you will. And the scripture said, trust what? In the Lord with all of your heart. And that means simply that trust and faith or belief in Jesus Christ are synonymous, that they are one and the same. Your trust in God and your faith in God are one and the same. Amen? And in the Old Testament, you'll find it written 152 times, trust in the Lord. Amen. You'll find it 152 times. If you go back and go and survey the Old Testament, you'll find that the word was given to God's people 152 times, trust in the Lord. Now, sounds like a recurring admonition to me that it must be important that we talk about faith, that we talk about trust continually with the people of God. It is equivalent to saying trust or believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Success God's way begins with being born again. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he asked the question, he said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And in verses 3 through 5, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the jumping off, the springboard for success God's way starts with being born again. Now, Nicodemus was successful. Nicodemus was a leader, but Nicodemus needed salvation. Amen. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious ruler, but he was lost. So the starting point is that we begin at the beginning. And that is that we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior and allow him to rule and to reign in our lives. And see, John 1:12 gives us a snapshot of what it's really all about when it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to those who what? Believe in his name. So when you think about this, those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ God gives them power. Power to be his children. And that is the very moment that you come to faith and you understand that Jesus is God's son, that he is the savior of the world. You ask him to come into your life and save you. At that moment, God gives you the power, the right to be called a child of God. Success begins with being born again. So if a person, if you know anybody who is desirous of being successful God's way, let them know the first thing you got to do is know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And then, secondly, we have to trust God's word. See, a lot of times people read the Bible and they only believe parts of it. They only accept some of it as being valid because, for whatever reason. I won't even go there. But Proverbs 3, it says, lean not to your own understanding. And just let me say, human understanding is limited. Human understanding is faulty. Human understanding sometimes is perverted. We get things twisted, don't we? Oh, y'all. See, y'all, I know, y'all, no, I get things twisted. Y'all get everything right. No, but see, it's one of those where you need to understand that in our minds sometimes, we get things all messed up. And when and because we do, we need to go back and trust God's word above our own thoughts and inclinations. We need to trust the word of God. Now, education is good, but education does not answer all of life's questions appropriately. You can be educated and still miss the truth. Amen. Many educated people, amen, are what? They're lost. I know people who have all them letters behind their names, and they don't know Jesus Christ, and they are lost. Amen. Many educated people are on their way to hell. And they got plenty book sense, but they don't even have what old folk used to call mother wit. They don't have common sense. Amen. They are spiritual illiterates, if you will. Education does not make a person saved. Educated people make a lot of bad decisions. Most of us have fairly good educations. And I'll raise my hand. I made some bad decisions as an educated individual. Now, I don't have a PhD, but I still have a fairly decent education. And I've made some bad decisions because I did not consult the word of God. I didn't ask God which way is the best way. And see, we, 2 Timothy 3:7 says that they're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And there are people who are constantly in the book trying to gain knowledge, but they always miss the truth of God's word. They need to know and to understand God's word. God's word gives us God's perspective on life. If you really want to know what God thinks about our lives and how they should go, consult the word of God. Consult his word and see what he says. The word of God imparts wisdom. In Psalm 119:99, it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. The psalmist was saying that I really have more insight, more spiritual insight, more wisdom than those who are supposed to be my teachers because I meditate on your word. Didn't he say, bind them around your neck? Amen. Don't forsake them, but hold on to the word of God. And that is the key for us to gaining God's perspective on life. The word of God gives us understanding. Psalm 119:104 says, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. If you really want an understanding, look into the Word of God and allow God to give you His perspective on life. And then the Word of God brings light. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And simply, where the Word of God is concerned, it gives us a clear understanding of God's direction, of God's will, God's purpose for our lives, and how we should live as men and women of the Church of Jesus Christ. His Word, according to the psalmist, gives us clarity so we understand what it is that God is saying and what it is that God desires that we do. And then, fourthly, if we trust God's Word, it will give us faith. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing comes by what? The Word of God. So if you really want to understand what God is saying about life in general for us as His children, His purpose is clearly revealed through His Word. And you know what? We need to hear from God. Amen. All of us need to hear from God about every matter in our life. Now, for my football fans, have you ever seen the quarterback when he comes up to the huddle and they all circle in front of him and you'll see him put his hands up like this here? He's putting his hands up there so he can hear from the coach that's in the booth up on the skyline. Amen. And when he does it, he's listening to hear direction or instruction from that coach. And he's sitting way up high in the stadium in a booth. And sometimes you'll see him come up to the line of scrimmage and he'll get on the center, then he'll step back. And then he'll call what they call an audible. He'll change the play right at the line of scrimmage. See, Peyton Manning was a great because he would come up here and he'd start hollering Omaha. Didn't nobody know what Omaha meant other than the people on the team. But he would be calling Omaha, Omaha. And sometimes it has something to do directly with what the man in the booth had just said into his ear. Now, you know why he needs to hear from the man in the booth? It's because he has a limited perspective. All he can see is what's down here. But the man in the booth can see the whole field of play and everything that is taking place. Amen. And see, where we are, we're down on the field of life's play, and all we can see is what's down here. But we need to hear from the man on high, because God can see everything that's going on from beginning to end in our lives. And see, God has a communication tool in place. And that is that He speaks to us through His Word by His divine Spirit and those who truly know Jesus Christ. He wants us sometimes, God wants to call an audible in our lives when we find ourselves going in the wrong direction. And He's just saying to us, change the play. Change the play. And there's no true way to have success apart from applying the Word of God. God wants us to trust His Word. And then lastly, we need to recognize God's hand. Proverbs 3 again says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. God is at work in every event in the lives of His children. Let me say that again. Every event that's taking place in your life, God in some way is at work. And he's at work to bless you because you are his child. 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, all things of God would make you scratch your head if you don't look at it in the context. Because you would say, well, I didn't know that strippers were of God, drug dealers were of God. You know, you would be scratching your head, but when you look at it in the context, you realize that the writer's actually talking about verse 17, where he says, now all things of God. In verse 18, he goes back to 17, and he says, therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. He's a new creation, for the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you're born again, God begins to work in every area and every aspect of your life. And therefore, I can confidently say all things are of God because I'm a child of God. And then with those all things, even though that always what we really want, God is making all things. That's what Romans 8:28 says. That all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so you may not see any good in what's going on. You may not be able to put two and two together and come up with four. Amen. But you need to understand that even though you can't see it, you have to trust God and understand that on the end of it, that it's going to work together for your good because you love God. Amen. No, you don't understand why they laid you off, but it's all right. You love the Lord. And in some way, God is going to make it work together for your good. You might have got sick and you've been suffering. Somebody might have done something to violate your security and your person. But if you love God and you believe the word of God, it's working together for your good. Some way or another, God is going to make it work in your faith. It's going to come out and work in your behalf. And if we acknowledge him, and see, that's a key thing that we need to always keep in our minds, and that is that we should acknowledge God in everything we do. Pet peeve of mine. Don't walk in my house and not speak to me. Amen. I wouldn't come in your house and not speak to you. I'm talking more about young people, because some of my kids' friends through the years that walk in my house, walk right by me, and they would say, "Hello, Mr. Mobley." And you know what would happen, don't you? Come here. You know whose house this is? Oh, yes. How you doing, Mr. Mobley? Okay. All right, let me ask you, whose world is this? It's God's. He made it. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that what dwell therein. So in God's world, we should always what? Acknowledge God. In our lives, God ought to be acknowledged because he is the one who provides everything we need. And then the blessing comes because the word says that he shall direct. He will direct our paths. Now, if you're acknowledging, God will tell you which way to go. A couple of guys struck out one morning they were headed on a little trip. But they weren't totally sure about the directions on how to arrive at their destination. So he fired up his GPS and put the coordinates in and hit start. And they were driving along down the highway, and the GPS said, turn left. He would turn left. He said, turn right. He would turn right. Drive a little bit forward, he would turn just like the GPS was telling him. And then he kind of got beside himself. He got rebellious. He said, well, I know the rest of the way. But he just kept on driving however he wanted to. And you know how the GPS does, says correction, correction. You turn around, go under the overpass, and get back on the interstate and go in the other direction. Amen. And God wants us to know, amen, that if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, if we pay attention to him, amen, via his global positioning system, if we pay attention to God through his word and the Holy Spirit, that he will direct our path. God will guide us to his destination that we might have success his way. Just if we're willing, amen, to follow his direction and stop leaning to our own understanding, God will bring us to a place of peace and joy that we can exalt and give him glory. See, when we see God's hand in everything, it will remove anxiety and our joy will increase. When we see God's hand in everything, it will turn us into a praising person instead of a fretting person. When we see God's hand moving, then we understand that he is taking us to that place where he can bless us. Amen. Too many times, we're always trying to figure it out and make it work for ourselves. But God is in control of everything. And you know what? I'd much rather be successful God's way than the way of the world. Because when the way of the world, when Jesus come back again, the Bible says that everything that's not like him is going to be burned up. And believe me, he is coming back again. Amen. He is coming back. But it is a day-to-day journey. And it's one of those that we have to take a step at a time. Don't think because you say I'm going to be successful and I'm going to make it my way. I'm going to tell you a story and I'm going to close. There was a rich man. The Bible says. And that year he had a bumper crop. And he had so much produce that he said, I'm going to tear down my barns. And I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to store all my goods. And then I'm going to sit back and say, so be satisfied. You have much to take care of you for many years. He thought he was successful. But what he forgot was that there was a God in heaven who blessed him to have a bumper crop. So when he got all comfortable and thought that he had it made, the Lord spoke to him that night and said, fool. This night is your soul required of you. And he said, then who shall all these things be that you have accumulated. Well, I just want to say that I want to be successful God's way. And whatever God blesses me to have, I want to know that it is God who is doing it according to his will. I want to have the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit in my life every day. And I want to walk in the faith that I know that God is going to show up, that God is going to be there when I need him most. I want to believe that I walk in faith, trusting God to make a way for me, that God will take care of me. Jesus died to secure our salvation. He died. When we were yet without strength, while we were still sinners, Christ, the Son of God, was hung on a cross out on Mount Calvary. He had done no wrong. He had done nothing but good. He had fed the hungry. He had healed the sick. He had made the lame to walk. He had opened blind eyes. He had restored life to men who were dead and raised up little children. And Jesus had done all kinds of mighty miracles, and still they nailed him to a cross. And while he was hanging there, that you and I might have glory, that we might have success, that we might have eternal life, and hung there and died for our sin. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. They sealed him up in there, and this is God who is in the grave, who was laying there all night Friday night and all night Saturday night. God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, laid in a borrowed tomb waiting on Sunday morning. Sunday morning he got up. My Bible says with all power and heaven and earth in his hand. He rose and he said, "Oh death, give me your sting. Oh grave, give me your victory." And made the declaration that all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Oh, but that's not the end of it. He got on a cloud and went back to glory. Sat down at the right hand of majesty. Well, every now and then, y'all know we make some boo-boos, don't you? And when we go the wrong way, we violate the will of Almighty God, Satan comes along and accuses us. Because the Bible says he is the accuser of the brother. And he's also the accuser of the sisters. Satan just loves to accuse God's children at the throne of God. But when he does, and he comes up there and begins to say that James messed up, Jesus said, "I know he messed up, but it's all right because it's under my blood." Yeah. And then mother may make a little mistake. And Satan come up and said, "Well, you know Mother Forrest." And Jesus said, "Well, yeah, I do. And hers is under my blood." Yeah, see, when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you may stumble along the way, but God, by his divine power, covers us with his blood. And oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I heard Pastor Trey this morning when he was down there teaching, and he said that God has got us in his hand. And because we are in the hand of God, Satan can pull and he can tug and he can do everything he wants to do, but he can't snatch us out of the hand of God. He holds us by his divine power, and God gives us success. He gives us victory. He makes us conquerors. He makes us the head and not the tail. God blesses us to have peace, to have joy. I don't have Donald Trump money, not even close. My little change wouldn't even make a splash in his money. But I tell you what I do have. I got peace. I got joy. I got a home that's waiting on me on high. I got a place where I'm going to go one day, and the streets up there are paved with gold. Oh, the foundations of the city where we're going to live, there are 12 foundations, and they're all precious stones. Have you ever seen a gate? Have you ever seen a pearl that's big enough to be called a gate? Woo, Lord Jesus. In that city, in that city, four square. My Bible says that there are 12 gates to the city. And every one of those gates is a pearl. Now, you know the pearls we see, they about like this. The gates up there got to be bigger than the doors that Zeus is standing in front of. Because if it wasn't, it would be a bottleneck of the children of God coming into the kingdom of God. But I believe that one day, when the gates swing open, we're going to walk in. Oh, yeah. And you know when we'll know we were successful? We hear the Lord say, well done. Yeah. Well done. Thy good and faithful servant. Amen. You've been faithful over what? A few things. Come on up. I want to make you ruler over many. So don't worry about what they got. Just be concerned with what God has given to you. Use it for his glory. And when you get there, he'll say, well done. Well done is the word for successful. God bless you. Stand with me as we extend the prayer.